The EU says it's ready for a fresh start with America. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After four long years, Europe has a friend in the White House. That's a direct quote from the head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, who spoke before the European Parliament hours before President-elect Joe Biden is sworn in. Ms. von der Leyen outlined several areas of new cooperation with the U.S., as the BBC's Stephen Ryan reports.
Climate change and the global COVID-19 response top Ms. von der Leyen's list of ambitions. She is ready to, on day one, engage with the new president on climate policy and is hopeful Mr. Biden will add his country back into the Paris Climate Agreement. The European Commission president said this would, in her words, be a very strong starting point for reinvigorating the transatlantic relationship. Where the two sides may have more difficulty finding common ground is the power and influence of big tech, which Europe has been trying to rein in recent years. Ms. von der Leyen insisted technology can't allow others to determine how we live our lives, and that Silicon Valley bosses cannot lay down the law. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global shares are slightly higher as investors anticipate a new round of spending in the U.S. to combat the coronavirus pandemic. Over in Asia, shares of Alibaba saw their biggest gain in 6 months after founder Jack Ma reappeared in public for the first time in 3 months. As president, after the inauguration today, Joe Biden intends to sign a number of executive actions, including one halting construction of the wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. It's among many changes thousands of migrants are counting on as they flee poverty and violence in Central America. Though Mr. Biden has vowed to end the Trump administration's strict immigration policies, he's warned big changes could take 6 months to put into place. The BBC's Will Grant explains why so many from Honduras, though, are still pressing on.
The grinding poverty, the gang violence, the political situation and corruption, all of these things push people to eventually leave their homes. But this year there's going to be, I think, an uptick in numbers off the back of last year's devastating hurricanes, Eta and Iota, which crashed into Central America, destroyed crops, livelihoods across the region, homes. So there are a lot of very, very desperate people in the region looking for a way out. And this caravan already made it further than most in the fact that it managed to leave the borders of Honduras. And we managed to catch up with one migrant who actually made it to the border with Mexico at a migrant shelter there.
Mexico is definitely the hardest part. For example, I've seen people come back here from trying, saying they've been assaulted, they couldn't get past the federal police or immigration officials. And to avoid the immigration agents, they end up in the hands of criminal gangs who attack them.
So, Will, clearly a difficult situation there for the migrants making their way to the U.S. border. What will the priorities be for the Biden administration?
I think this will be one of the thorniest issues in Joe Biden's in-tray. Immigration reform is something that he has said he wants to do. No one is expecting him to continue the wall. He said that not a foot more of that controversial border wall will be built under his watch. And yet there are elements of the Trump administration's policy that I would be surprised if he let go. Now, that may involve simply keeping up the pressure on Central American governments and Mexico to clamp down on these caravans. Steps like continuing the Remain in Mexico program, where asylum seekers are expected to stay in Mexico while they wait for their court dates in the US. A lot of those things activists and immigration lawyers want to see changed. And I spoke to one who particularly said there is one pressing issue above all others that Joe Biden should focus on from day one, and that's the question of child separation.
Customs Border and Protections did not collect any specific data of immigrant family reunifications. And what we have now, it's a crisis of these children that cannot be identified. The parents were sent back and the children were here. The whole world knew that this was inhumane. In my opinion, they should start with that one.
Now, Will, policy changes take time to implement, and clearly these migrants are hoping for a quick change. Are there solutions that perhaps lie closer to home that could serve as sort of a stopgap measure?
The economic situation is dire in Central America at the moment. The environmental situation is dire. I think the Biden administration is aware of that and is committing to doing something about it. Certainly the Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has called for greater dialogue on that. Andrés Manuel López Obrador was one of the last heads of state to recognize Joe Biden's victory. He had a strange but actually very warm relationship with Donald Trump. And so, you know, that relationship will need strengthening and need improving before I think anything can be done in a sort of more compassionate and humanitarian way towards these groups of immigrants who are trying to make their way north.
The BBC's Will Grant for us. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
From immigration under the new administration, now to trade. The last 4 years have seen quite a bit of focus on what makes a country's currency over or undervalued. The Economist magazine has come up with a way to gauge just that. They compare the price of Big Macs in 20 countries. Samaya Keynes, the publication's trade and globalization editor, explains what the latest reading shows.
The Big Mac Index is a light-hearted measure of currency valuation. It looks at the price of a Big Mac in different places around the world and says, okay, well, if you have some dollars, where would that Big Mac be cheaper and where would it be more expensive? The idea is that you're comparing the same product across space, and that should give you a fairly good idea of whether the currency is undervalued. So if that burger is really cheap in, say, Thailand, then that suggests that their currency is undervalued relative to the dollar.
And you've just reassessed this index. And what did you find? Which currencies are over or undervalued at this point?
We looked at the 20 currencies that the US Treasury normally monitors. They're big trading partners of America. And we found that if you just look at the raw prices, and sorry, there are a lot of burger-related food puns that go into this, then 19 are undervalued relative to the dollar. The Mexican peso is more than 50% undervalued. Malaysian, Taiwanese, Indian currencies all undervalued. But the big story is that actually relative to fundamentals, the dollar is fairly strong.
And so what does that mean? Just to explain to our listeners what exactly a strong dollar means for the US.
On a practical basis, it means that if you're a tourist and you're American, you have dollars and you want to go around the world, then you're going to have a pretty good time. Relative to America, other places are going to be cheap. However, that can be a problem if you're trying to export products. Then having a very strong dollar means that you're going to struggle to compete in foreign markets. This underlies one of the frustrations from US policymakers at what they see as other governments trying to make their currencies artificially cheap, which is that they're trying to get a competitive advantage over American exporters, and they see that as unfair.
And that brings us to the perfect next question, which is, for the last 4 years, President Trump has been arguing that China intentionally devalues its currency. Now, when we look at the Big Mac Index, it suggests China's currency is overvalued relative to the US dollar. So what's with that discrepancy?
When you adjust for the fact that actually poorer countries should tend to have lower wages and therefore lower prices, then China's currency is overvalued. On the raw measure, China's currency is undervalued. Historically, the Chinese yuan has been undervalued relative to what one might expect if pure market forces were at work. And that's obviously generated quite a lot of US frustration. Under the Trump administration, that's been a bit weird, because actually, in some cases, the Chinese government has been trying to stop the yuan from getting weaker.
So, Samaya, if the Biden administration was keeping tabs on this Big Mac index, what do you think it suggests that perhaps they should be keeping an eye on over the next, I don't know, year or so?
Okay, so point one, I really don't think that any policy should be made based on the price of a burger. But if they were to try to do that, then you might want to look at the Vietnamese currency. Over a year when lots of currencies have been swinging wildly relative to other currencies, and the Vietnamese dong has been staying remarkably constant relative to the dollar. Now, that to the US Treasury could suggest that the government is intervening. And in fact, the US government has accused Vietnam of manipulating its currency, of intervening in foreign currency markets. There are another whole host of arguments for why actually you just might want to leave Vietnam alone. It's a very small country. Do you really want to blast Vietnam? And actually, there are lots of other bits of the relationship that you care about.
Who knew a Big Mac could tell us so much about the world? Samaya Keynes, The Economist, trade and globalization editor. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Burgers for lunch, anyone? In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.